I'd like to wish you all a very happy Christmas on behalf of everyone at Sion Chapel. It's been a very strange year, hasn't it? And for some, it's been a very sad year. Normally, the Sunday before Christmas, Sion has a large carol service that we invite people to join us for. Obviously, that is not possible this year. However, it is a significant time of year, Christmas, when we remember the coming of the Lord Jesus and the hope that he brings. So instead of holding our usual service in Sion Chapel, we have prepared this CD recording. In it, we'll be listening to recordings of traditional carols. Interspersed between them, a number of members of Sion will read Bible passages that tell the story of the first Christmas. And we'll also reflect for a few moments on that story as we seek to understand the real meaning of Christmas. As we start, let us pray together. Eternal God, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the festivities, for the joy that it brings. I pray, Lord, that that would be the case for each of us as we approach the end of this of all years. But we thank you most of all that Christmas marks the time when your Son came down to this earth and that he came in order to save his people from their sins. Help us now, Lord, to reflect upon that as we hear these carols sung and the Bible read. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Servant, Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you.
1-16. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Thank you.
Well, have you worked out your bubble yet? At the time of recording, two households are entitled to get together, although that may have changed by the time you get to listen to this. Whatever happens from now on, COVID-19 will prevent us from having the visitors we normally would have at Christmas, and we won't be able to visit others in the way that we have done in the past. That's particularly sad, isn't it? Because Christmas is traditionally a time for giving and receiving hospitality. I've often thought that that is very appropriate. So the reason why it's so fitting is because the very first Christmas involved a good number of visits being made. In fact, as we're going to see over the next few minutes, I think it's possible to view the story of the first Christmas as a series of visitations. The most important is, of course, God visiting this earth. That is key. It's central to understanding the whole event. God taking upon himself human flesh and coming down to this earth. That is the miracle of the first Christmas. In the Bible book Isaiah, that was written about 700 years before Christ was born, the prophets predicted the coming into the world of a special child. Isaiah 7:14 reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear the son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The birth of the baby Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy, and the name mentioned in that prophecy is important, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus walking upon the earth was God walking upon the earth, God visiting us. Now that's awe-inspiring. God is not distant. He is interested in us. And he showed it by leaving the wonder and magnificence of heaven to walk upon this planet. But there were other visitations in the first Christmas. There were a number of visits by angels. We had read earlier the account of an angel appearing before the shepherds. They announced good news of great joy, the birth of the baby Jesus. Then a massive number of angels appeared in the night sky and praised God for what he'd done in sending Jesus. They were excited at the news that Jesus had been born. When we think about the first Christmas, do we rejoice? Are we as excited about the coming of the Christ into the world? The angels were absolutely clear that this was wonderful news for the shepherds. And it is for us too. Will this Christmas be as enjoyable as other previous Christmases? Well, I certainly hope so. But whatever our Christmas is like this year, we do well to remember that the most exciting thing about this time of year is that it's the time when we remember Jesus being born. We can rejoice and we can respond by praising God like the angels did for sending us his son. On hearing of the birth from the angels, the shepherds themselves visited Mary, Joseph and the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And they did it in order to investigate, to find out more about what had happened. Luke 2 verse 15, we read their words, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They wanted to know more about this baby. Why? Because they knew enough to know that this baby was different. He was special. Now, they wouldn't have been, as shepherds, greatly educated men, but they certainly would have known that God had promised a Messiah, someone who was to come into the world to sort out the mess that it was in. They knew that he was to come to save his people. They knew all this because there were many prophecies of a coming Messiah in the Old Testament. This expectation, this waiting for the Messiah or Christ, as it is translated in Greek, was very much a part of the lives of Jews in that day, the shepherds included. And the angel had said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." They'd announced that this baby was the Christ, and that he was also a Saviour. He was to save his people. So what did they do? They went to search him out. They were intrigued. They were interested. They wanted to know more. It wouldn't have been easy. Okay, finding a baby lying in a manger, the food trough, was a little unusual. But it still would have taken some persistence to find him. And when they found him, they talked about what they'd been told. I wonder, are you intrigued? Are you curious as to who this Jesus is? Maybe you've noticed that in Sion there's a little community who make a lot of Jesus. They worship him not just on a Sunday, but minute by minute, hour by hour, then day by day, by striving to follow his word. They speak about him as a friend. They say he's their saviour, just like the angel did. He's dealt with their guilt, their wrongdoing. He's paid the price of it. You may have seen people whose lives have been transformed, and they say it's by Jesus. Although they're certainly not perfect, there's no doubt about the change that you've seen in them. You can't understand it. Maybe you're stuck personally at how meaningless life seems to be, and how you struggle with guilt. And one death is an answer to that as well. What can I encourage you? Not to leave it as curiosity. Look into it, like the shepherds did. Speak to Christians that you know. Come along to Sion to hear more about Jesus. Read Christian literature. Even better, read the Bible for yourself. Having mentioned the visit of the shepherds, we know, of course, what's coming next. Of course, then was the visit of the wise men. Now, contrary to how it has been portrayed in countless nativity plays over the years, including, I must confess, at Sion, they didn't turn up at the same time as the shepherds. In fact, Matthew records in his gospel that Mary, Joseph and Jesus were staying in a house by the time the wise men got there. But when the wise men saw Jesus, they just fell down and worshipped him. They recognised that although he looked like every other baby ever born, he was also a very special baby. Why is he worthy of such worship? Well, because of who he is, as we've said, Jesus is God. But also because of what he came to do. One of the very expensive gifts that the wise men brought was, to say the least, a bit unusual to be giving to a baby. You see, myrrh was used in those days as an embalming fluid. But of course, the significance of Jesus coming into the world is strongly connected to what happened 33 years later on. He died, as we remember, at Easter upon a cross, and he did it to pay the price of our sins. He took our sins upon him as he died, and then he rose again. And because of that, now we can have assurance that we're right with God, that we're in a relationship with him. We can know that we are secure for eternity, and life now has meaning. And that meaning is to love and to worship God. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our praise. Will we be worshipping him this Christmas for who he is and for what he did for us? This year there'll be visits that we would like to make that won't end up taking place. And actually there was one on the first Christmas too. Herod informed the wise men that he'd like to visit this new king who had been born. Now, of course, we know that his motivation for visiting wasn't good. In fact, it was evil in the extreme. Why? Well, he didn't want another king. He was king. His response to Jesus was one of rejection. Now, that's a sober warning to us. The responses of the angels, shepherds and wise men to the birth of Jesus are commendable and they are worthy of being copied. The response of rejoicing, a desire to know more about him, the response of worship and praise. But many actually respond to his birth more like Herod. Now they may not carry out the evil deeds Herod did as he rejected Jesus. But even so, it's possible to be guilty of rejecting him. You see, many people just like Herod just want to continue as king of their own lives. They don't want to acknowledge their accountability before God, and they certainly can't bring themselves to recognise that their guilt is something they can't do anything about themselves. And so they're rejecting Jesus. Others maybe think that there may be something in it, but they don't know anything about it. They just shrug it off. And they're rejecting him too. Jesus said, "He who is not for me is against me." Those who don't turn from their own lifestyles and accept what Jesus did for them upon that cross, they are rejecting him. But for those who don't reject him, but rather respond in faith, Christmas is the most wonderful time of year. Not because of the presents and food and whatever time we are able to have with family and friends, although I trust that we'll be able to enjoy those too. But it's wonderful because it is the time when we are reminded of the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can, like the wise men, the shepherds and the angels, respond by worshipping him. Thank you for listening to our 2020 carol service. We would like to put on record our gratitude to Wem Baptist Church in Shropshire and the Evangelical Movement of Wales for providing and for giving us permission to use the recordings of the carols. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused us to suspend all our meetings in Sion Chapel, including, at the moment, our Sunday services. Please do keep checking on our website for details about when we will be restarting them. Hopefully, we'll very soon be able to restart our Sunday morning services. However, during the times when the congregation in Sion aren't meeting in person on Sundays, we instead produce a weekly worship service on CD for everyone who would like to listen to it. If you'd like to receive a copy, please do contact us through any member of our congregation or through the contact details on our website. We'd be delighted to send one to you each week, and of course, they are absolutely free.